हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिव सदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
In the service of Lord Krishna, the jiva soul is endowed with the highest spiritual bliss. And similarly, when it becomes exoteric or antagonistic due to the misuse of its free will, it secures a fall into the mundane world. The transcendental potency helps the upliftment of the jivas, whereas the mundane potency of Maya Shakti helps the jivas in the entanglement with the world. The mayic potency is the shadow of chit potency, transcendental potency. She has created the materialistic universe as useful for the worldly life of the fallen jivas. She has also created the gross and subtle bodies of the jiva souls for the enjoyment of the world. Falling into this material world, the jivas are oppressed due to the entanglement with karma. Aversion to the Supreme Lord alone is the cause of this worldly condition. It should be understood that the jiva soul is neither produced of this material world nor created in the transcendental world. They are originated from the marginal line between the transcendental and mundane spheres. Since the jiva souls are endowed with an atomic free will, and since they are more inclined towards material enjoyments than in the spiritual upliftment, the jivas fallen into bondage have voluntarily accepted worldly life. There is no need of blaming the Lord for this. Out of his unlimited mercy, the Lord has created this material universe for the voluntary enjoyment of the fallen jiva souls. This material world has been structured in such a manner that, within the shortest possible time of material enjoyment, the jivas will obtain abnegation and again will be lifted by the association of holy souls. I think we were discussing this last time, no? We just didn't finish that last little bit. Yeah, so the main point is that you have the jiva, the jiva is endowed naturally with some happiness, some ananda. This is Brahmananda. But that's very insignificant compared to that rasa, the taste of ananda in rasa, where one is serving Krishna. Right? That's like considered like an unlimited ocean compared to a drop of bliss. So then, main point is the jiva, if he gets attracted to the spiritual, then he serves Krishna. If he gets attracted to the material, then he becomes entangled by maya. Right? So the internal potency will take care of him if he's serving Krishna, and her shadow, the external potency, will take care of him if he's in the material world. So the material world is going to be created for the happiness of the living entities, in that everything's set up so it looks like something you can enjoy. And the living entity thinks, oh, I'll be happy here, be happy there. But it's designed in such a way as the shortest time possible, the jivas will come back and take up devotional service. Right? So it's good enough that you can try and then figure out that nothing's there. Does that make sense? And then for those who are more stubborn, even though they try, they can't see that, they get more and more greedy, then the reactions are much stronger. But for those who are pious, then they get very nice facility, and then they can actually see that nothing's there. Does that make sense? So six. The Supreme Lord has created the jiva souls and the inert matter as different principles than himself, whereas the jiva souls and the material world are not different from him. And inert matter is different principles than himself. Whereas okay. This is a great mystery. Okay. Answers that question. In his personal form, the Supreme Lord is eternally different from the jiva souls in the material world. But he has entered into the jiva souls in the material world in the form of his potency. Even after discussing and exposing all the scriptures, the sage Vyasadeva could not understand this mystery and therefore was lamenting with a sorrowful heart. Then came there the great divine sage Narada and advised him the brief essence of the four original verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had received from the creator Brahma. The teaching of that original four-verse Bhagavatam is as follows. The four divine principles are jnana, vijnana, tadrahasya, and taranga. By the word jnana is meant that the Lord says, quote, I am the supreme reality, the Bhagavan, existent from the beginning of all other entities. During that time there was no asat, transcendent things, nor sat, divine relationship with the phenomenal creation. And the Brahman, which is superior to them, was left without perception, because there was no existence of jiva souls in the mundane sphere to perceive him. After creation by my will, my potency was transformed into the various entities. And at the end, when nothing else will remain, I alone will be present in the form of all majestic supreme Godhead. This is the Bhagavad Jnana, or the divine knowledge. Brahmananda, etc., are parts of this. By the word vijnana is meant, okay, so that was jnana. Okay, so that defined jnana. In other words, you know the position of the Lord, you know the position of the living entities. Right, so that's the jnana. So then whatever is there as way as principles, they're all contained within this. Vijnana is meant that, quote, I am the highest spiritual object to be obtained. The principle of my potency is that which is not directly perceived in my form, as well as which is perceived outside of my form. The word maya denotes here the supreme potency of yoga maya of the Lord. Therefore, my potency is eternally distinct and not distinct from me. As non-distinct from me, it is not perceivable, whereas it is perceivable when distinct from me. In two different cases, it is perceived distinct from me, namely semblance and darkness, abhas and tamas. Abhasa denotes the atomic nature, and tamas denotes the phenomenal nature. The manifestation of jiva souls by the atomic nature and the manifestation of the material world by the phenomenal nature are belonging to my distinctive potency. Okay, the knowledge of the Supreme Lord along with his potency is known as vijnan. Right? So the first principle of jnana is the Lord, his position, and how everything's expanded from him, he enters everything. Right? Then the second is the Supreme Lord and his potency. How then expanding, then you have the jivas and you have the phenomenal world. And how he is separate from them, but he enters them, so in this way everything is controlled. Right? Does that make sense? So first is the Lord, then the relationships between everything else and the Lord. Right? So when you're studying the... that'll be the first thing. Then Rahasya is the third principle. The Lord says, quote, in mundane world, Pradhana, the substance of matter, Mahatattva, perverted cognitive facility, etc., have penetrated into the general great elements like earth, water, etc. And still remain with their distinctive existence. Similarly, I am the transcendental sun, Bhagavan, have penetrated within the infinite numbers of sentient jivas, and simultaneously I remain distinct with my absolute fullness. When the jiva soul is totally surrendered to me, when they acquire a devotion, bhakti, to me, then I will be revealed to them as their eternal companion. This mystery is known as tadrahasya. By the word taranga, okay, tadrahasya. Okay. So now we've got the Supreme Lord is the beginning of everything, that He existed before anything existed, then after everything exists, He's there still, and then after when everything winds up, He'll still be there. Right? Then the next thing, Vigyan, then is the Lord and His potency. They're simultaneously different and non-different, like that. Then the third point, then Rahasya, then is that He has entered everything and simultaneously He is separate, right, as a person. And then when one takes up this in devotion, this understanding, then one comes to the platform of devotional service. Right? Yes.
So this is him entering the jiva itself?
Say again?
He enters the external potency and also the jivas.
Yeah. Is that a problem?
No, just...
He shouldn't enter the jivas?
No. They have like this...
We should do a march.
Paramatma is like the size of a thumb and a heart, but he's also within the infinitesimal jiva.
Is that a problem?
No, just trying to...
Then what about he's in every atom and between every atom? What about that one also? So you have to work that in with the Paramatma, the size of the thumb, and inside the jiva.
Yeah.
So you understand? If he's in every atom and between every atom, so what's the problem if he's in the jiva and at the same time in the heart?
Understanding.
Yeah, but then the point is he also enters the jivas.
Yeah. So when the jiva, when the material world is dissolved, then they enter him, so he's not...
They enter him, but he is still, you know, he's still all-pervading.
Yeah.
See, the point is he's all-pervading, at the same time he's a person.
Yeah.
That's this rahasya. Does that make sense? Because, in other words, it's all going on at the same time. It's not this or that. That's why mundane philosophies come up, is because people think it's this or it's that. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because they can't combine them. But the transcendental is that they all happen simultaneously. You know? He's in between, in everything. At the same time, he is separate. Right. So that's what makes him the Supreme Lord. You know, we are just jivas, and that's all we'll ever be. Right? So it's very foolish for us to try to be the Supreme Lord. Right? Like that. But God, you know, that's not a problem for him to be God. He's quite good at it.
If all jivas are destined to go back to Godhead.
If all jivas are destined to go back to
Godhead.
Is there an infinite number of jivas being manifest? It would appear so. Otherwise the place would start to get empty. Probably be a good, you know, what do you call it? Twilight Zone episode. You're left, everyone else has gone back to Godhead, and you're the only one here. Right? You know what I'm saying? In the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets are constantly manifesting and expanding. So the point is they've eternally existed, it's just a matter of when they manifest. You know what I'm saying? Material energy is always there. But it's just Krishna manifested and unmanifested. But the point is the spiritual, once it's manifest, it doesn't unmanifest. You know what I'm saying? The material is different. It manifests, unmanifests, manifests, unmanifests. So the jivas, when they're in touch with the material energy, then their forms, they are never unmanifest, but the forms, the gross and subtle forms that they work with are constantly being manifest and unmanifest, just like the material world. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. Well, in the spiritual world, it's always manifest. So just as the spiritual world is unlimitedly expanding, so therefore that means if the cosmic creation is always expanding, that means the spiritual world and the material world are always getting bigger. So that means there's more living entities being manifest. Does that make sense?
Is that the same as having a beginning?
No, because they've always existed. It's just a matter of manifestation. Does that make sense? Well, that's why all these things, you have to simultaneous. He's inside the jiva at the same time he's in the heart. In a sense. That's the problem. With mundane intelligence, these things can't be worked out. Yeah? No? I let this one go. Okay, now, the last, the taranga. By the word taranga, it is explained that when the jiva soul gets afflicted due to worldly sufferings, it engages in the inquiry of the self, and securing the grace of the holy preceptor, it attains me. The ultimate reality by the synthetic and analytic reasoning of the scriptures. This itself is the principle of inconceivable distinction and non-distinction enunciated by Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's pointing out that these four is what the Chaturshloki is describing. Right? Means that he is there in the beginning, and he's there in the middle, he's there at the end. Then doing that, he is separate from the jivas. His potencies expand everywhere, but he is separate from them. Right? That's the second principle. Then this third principle... that's the third principle. Yeah, it means they're distinct from him and not distinct from him. When it's manifest, it's distinct. When it's not manifest, it's not distinct. Right? So for Krishna, it's just it's the same thing. You only make a distinction when it's manifest. If it's not manifest, you don't call it distinct. Okay, so what is that? Okay, four distinct. Jnana, Vijnana, Tadrahasya, and Taranga. Okay. Okay, he's there in the beginning. Okay, and the second, he is the highest object to be obtained. Tadrahasya. Okay, then he is there, he is everybody's, he is the highest principle to be obtained, he is their best friend, eternal companion, and then through the process of surrendering to the spiritual master, and the scriptures, and practicing the principles there, then one will obtain Krishna. Okay. So, seven. There are two kinds of jivas, namely eternally bound and eternally liberated ones. The eternally liberated jivas are affectionately engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The bound jivas, who have fallen in the mundane trap of Maya, then discard their material. When discard their material attachment and engage in the cultivation of their intrinsic transcendental facility, they also will attain the Supreme Reality. The intrinsic faculty of the jivas is the service of Bhagavan. To what extent the jiva engages himself in the congenial cultivation of the transcendental science, proportionally it acquires increased detachment from the material world. When the jiva is totally engaged in the transcendental service, his material attachments will be entirely disappeared, and he will attain the lotus feet of Bhagavan, the supreme lord of the jiva souls. Transcendental relish is derived by the service of transcendence. So long as the jivas are attached to the material world, they become unable to realize the transcendental affairs.
So he's saying here is that you get transcendental taste from serving the transcendental, right? It means you get mundane taste by working in the mundane world. You work with Krishna, then you get spiritual taste. Right? You're not going to get it some other way, like that. Sorry, you can't get it in a box of breakfast cereal or something. Or, you know, send away three, you know, package, you know, whatever it is, the coupons and stuff like that. Yeah, something? No. Yeah. I'm just getting more subtle. Just, you know, I get like the auctions, you know, the guy blinks, the guy does his, you know, what, dentures or, you know, something else that no one else can see. The divine principle of simultaneous dual and non-dual nature is incomprehensible. Okay, so this eternally bound and eternally liberated. Eternally bound means eternally liberated as they decided to serve Krishna. Eternally bound, they decided not to serve Krishna. Does that make sense? The divine principle of simultaneous dual and non-dual nature is incomprehensible to the human thought. Okay, so you don't have to worry that you don't understand it, right? But, yeah? Feel better now? Okay. Since the coexistence of mutually opposite qualities is not found in the material world, it is not realizable by the bonded jivas by means of their materialistic knowledge. Right? So in other words, using one's mundane intelligence, this can't be understood, but by devotional service, then it is. Right, because then using spiritual intelligence.
By dint of the inconceivable potency, innumerable mutually controversial qualities are perfectly assimilated in the personality of the Supreme Lord. Willfulness of the immutable, even with an eternal medium form, he is simultaneously subtler than the atom, and greater than greatest. Being impartial, he is affectionate to the devotees. Distinction and non-distinction. Cowherd boy form of Lord Krishna, being the featureless Brahman.
Okay, now I get it. Sometimes it uses unique English. Okay, so here's...
Innumerable controversial qualities are perfectly assimilated in the Supreme Lord. So now it's going through... mutually controversial qualities. Willfulness of the immutable. Right? The unchangeable is willful. Right? So one doesn't think he's unchangeable, but he also, as a person, then has so many, you know, interests and things he likes to do. Even with an eternal medium form, he is simultaneously subtler than the atom and greater than the greatest, right? He has a medium form, but at the same time he's smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. Right? So all that, then that would be... Being impartial, he is affectionate to the devotees. Right? So it means he's impartial. Whoever approaches him, he'll deal with equally. But since the devotees approach him, he's partial to them. Right? The others don't approach. Distinction and non-distinction means there's form, you know, something you can define, and it's undefinable. Right? He's manifest, unmanifest, he can be defined, he can't be defined. He's beyond words. Cowherd boy form of Lord Krishna, being the featureless Brahman. Right? You have the cowherd boy, but at the same time as his qualities are the Brahman, which don't have any features. All belovedness of him, even being the source of all knowledge. Right? So you have the whole element of rasa, but at the same time he's the source of all knowledge. So all interest, all attraction, all everything is directed towards him, at the same time he's the source of all knowledge. Right? Generally we see is what we're attracted to, and that is not the source of our knowledge. Right? Now that attraction is not becoming because of knowledge. Right? You just like. And so then you don't need to know or don't want to know about knowledge. But here it is, he is the all-attractive one, the most beloved. At the same time, he's the source of all knowledge. Right? So all these qualities are seemingly contradictory. In this way, the Bhagavan is the source of all types of mutually controversial qualities. No material object can be shown as an example to this quality of the Lord. The intellect of the worldly human beings is materialistic. Therefore, it is incapable of touching the supramundane object. The inconceivable divinity is not realized by the human intellect. Because of this, the worldly bonded human beings cannot clearly understand the principle of simultaneous distinction and non-distinction. Whether the human beings can never be able to understand the elegance of this principle? The answer is that those who have secured a relish in the service of the lotus feet of Chaitanya, consciousness, they will be gradually able to realize the transcendental principle. Right? So since it is unapproachable by the human being with their own intellect, will they be able to appreciate this? Right? So it's then by that surrender to the Lord. You know, here specifically saying to Chaitanya, consciousness, or Lord Chaitanya, then they will gradually realize this principle. During their progress in the spiritual cultivation, when they obtain the unalloyed state of their own self, they will be clearly able to realize the principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. By the word Chaitanya, what is it? Charna Svada. Two meanings are derived. Both the meanings are principally the same. The first meaning is the relishable bliss derived by the service of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The second meaning is the service of the Supreme Conscious Principle. Since Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is identical with the Supreme Conscious Principle, both meanings are assimilated into one. In the first part of this book, the doctrines of various scholars are observed, and all these scholars are only the bonded atomic principles of the Supreme Consciousness. By refuting the defective doctrine of those scholars, the highest principle taught by the Supreme Conscious Principle, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, has been discussed in the present realization. Although there are three different principles, right? Okay. Right, so means when they're absorbed in transcendental consciousness, then you can realize the Lord, but the Lord is transcendental consciousness. Right? So then they're non-different. So therefore, by the grace service of the Lord Chaitanya, then you're both, in touch with consciousness and serving that Supreme Person. Does that make sense? So that's why this principle of being conscious is important, because if you're not conscious, how will you then realize the Lord? Right? Why do we use consciousness? Because you're aware. Otherwise, we would just say that it's just an experience. You know what I'm saying? Many are just looking for an experience. Some kind of, what do you call it? Epiphany? They call it? You know, just some kind of very special experience. That comes along with it. But at the same time, he's both. He's the consciousness and that beloved person, that all attractive. Right? Does that make sense? So both are there at one time. Because otherwise, if it's only an experience, then the thing is you're not necessarily conscious of what you're experiencing. Right? If you emphasize too much the experience, you forget what you're experiencing. Right? And if you focus too much on what you're experiencing, what is the form of the experience, then you may not get the experience. You know what I'm saying? So that balance is you're conscious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Then you'll actually be able to function. Then you can work in relationships. Does that make any sense?
So you're saying he's both the consciousness and the object?
Yes. You're saying the first meaning is the relishable bliss derived from service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? In other words, that ecstasy is there. The second meaning the service of the Supreme Conscious Principle. means one is the service, the other is the experience gained from the service. Right? Remember, he's just saying, so the jiva is chit and ananda. They're bringing out knowledge and happiness. So then the point is that the chit means, well, your activities. Right? Ananda is the experience. So what service is being rendered and what, therefore, experience is gained. So they're simultaneous. Right? Because Krishna says he is the activity and he is the result of the activity. Does that make sense? So the point is, if you identify as Krishna's servant, then these come. If you identify as part of the material energy, then the chit and ananda will be engaged differently. Right? They'll be engaged not in the Lord's service or not in higher consciousness, but in absorption in the material energy. Okay. That makes sense? Yes?
Could you explain a little bit this principle of consciousness and experience? Because the consciousness
means you have to be aware of something. You know, because you're using the chit pose, you're aware of it. You know, but then there's the experience of being, you know, by being aware of it. Kids are yelling and screaming and all that, you know, but if you point out to them, oh, what a nice sound, you know, then they'll stop, and then they can only be aware of the sound, then they can appreciate it. You understand? You can only experience something you're conscious of. This is one of the biggest problems of the material culture in general, but modern culture in specific, is they're not conscious, they're not aware. Therefore, they don't get much of an experience. But they're trying to get the experience, because they're not getting the experience, they're blaming it on someone else. They're getting in the way of the experience. No, only we're getting in the way of the experience because we're not conscious. No, it means means conscious of, you're focusing on the service. If you're focusing on the service, then that experience will be there. If you just focus on the experience, then you're not actually what is generating that experience. You know what I'm saying? You're in the kirtan, so by being in the kirtan, it's generating an experience. If you focus on the kirtan, that experience is also being generated. You take it off the kirtan and put it on the experience of the kirtan, then it stops because it's coming from the kirtan itself. You understand?
So we should be aware of the source of the experience.
It's not, yes, you could say like that, but you're trying to be aware of the situation in which you can render service. Does that make sense? That is based, of course, you have to be conscious of the Supreme. So you're conscious, so therefore you're rendering service, therefore you're getting a result. Is that okay? Here, one second. Yeah,
sorry. Krishna says I'm the activity and I'm the result. But he also says I'm the doer.
Yeah, so he's all these things. It means whatever there is that is of importance that creates any kind of interaction, all the elements of the interaction, all the results of the interaction, it's all Krishna. So that means, if you think about it, that means Krishna is everything. You understand? So we're trying to say Krishna is just this, and then there's all this other stuff.
So why do we feed the activity?
Because we want to be part of it. So we want to be part of it, therefore then by the internal potency we will be part of the transcendental activity. We don't want to be part of that, then by the arrangement we'll be part, the external energy will make us part of Maya, of illusion.
How
does the reactions to the actions feed Krishna's
doer?
No, he's not the doer, he's the ability. Okay, so then if you're using he is the doer, means he is the one that is the potency behind it. He has to arrange it. But you want it. It's just like you go to the restaurant and order some chips. So who made the chips? You were the cook. Okay, but why did the cook make them? Yes, so that's the point. But the point is you think you're getting chips. You know, so you're saying, you know, you tell your friends, hey, just a minute, I'll go out and get some chips. No, it's by your desire they're created, but you didn't make them. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna is arranging everything, but it's at the desire of the living entity. But the living entity thinks he's the doer, that's why he gets the reactions to his, at what he wants to have done. Because he actually thinks they will make him happy. Does that make sense? You know. Why you would want to be in the material body? It's going to be temporary. It's going to go away. Right? Isn't it? But everybody acts in such a way that they get a material body. You know what I'm saying? The point is that the living entity has this idea that something other than Krishna will make him happy. What he's not realizing is that anything that's making him happy is Krishna's potency anyway. Right? But the point is still, even if he understands this, he won't be really happy until, how you say, by understanding that it breaks material happiness, but it doesn't generate spiritual happiness until he tries to act in a way that's favorable to Krishna. Does that make sense? So the point is the living entities are inimical to Krishna. But they're learning by, you know, being experienced in the material world, that there's nothing here, so there must be something else. Right? So then if they become conscious of the Lord, take up his service, then, you know, and have the association of the devotees, then they can move forward. Okay? Is it only by service attitude you become conscious? That would help, but it's not necessarily the position. Being conscious then means the element, this chit, then is an element of intelligence. You're able to discriminate, so you're conscious of what is there. You can tell the difference between things. You can understand what's happening. Does that make sense?
Discriminate the material body. Yeah.
Discriminate anything. You know, whether it's gross or subtle or spiritual. But just to be aware of what is there, then that means you're becoming conscious. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Sometimes
due to
our conditioned nature, we can endure material things in this world. And if we gain realization and realize we get some intelligence, then even though we haven't received the fruits of our long sense desires, by Krishna's mercy, by sincerity, you can take away these reactions, or you still have to experience reactions. Or?
And what difference will that make for you in your life? How will that change your commitment?
Well, if by realization before the reaction has come, you really sincerely understand.
I'm saying, how will this change your commitment to Krishna consciousness? It would help. Why would it help? Yes.
We don't deserve his kindness.
Right.
And yet still
so there's a little bit more kindness we could get that we still don't deserve. Is what
yeah. It's like, you know, he's sort of turn your back.
Yes,
there.
But the point is this.
Yeah.
You want that. Are you asking for that?
Yeah, I want Krishna to
that. Yeah, but the point is are you asking him for that? You know what I'm saying? If you want personal consideration, it must be discussed personally.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If it's a principle of justice, why is it more just? You know what I'm saying? Because do you expect the same for your neighbor? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so then... This divine principle of simultaneous dual and non-dual incomprehensible. Wait a minute. Oh, we're over here. Oh, okay. Although there are three different principles of jiva, soul, matter, and transcendence, the transcendence itself is the highest principle. The Supreme Lord Himself is the transcendence. The jiva soul is the atomic transcendence. The transcendental variegatedness is the special characteristic of the jivas. The Supreme Lord Bhagavan is the transcendental sun. The jivas are his atomic transcendental particle rays. There is no other principle as delicious and superior as the transcendental object. The mundane variegatedness is only a perverted reflection of that transcendental variegatedness. Okay, so now we're bringing in the jiva, matter, and consciousness. So then we have transcendence is the top, because that is Krishna, right? So the jivas are atomic expansion of this, and therefore they represent so much transcendental variegatedness. So I see it's unlimited qualities, so the unlimited jivas each have a uniqueness. You know, so that way there's created unlimited variety. Okay, so just like he is the sun, they're like the atomic particles of the rays of the sun. And so he's now saying is that there's no other principle as delicious and superior as the transcendental object. The mundane variegatedness is only a perverted reflection of that transcendental variegatedness. So the internal potency, the chit potency, then that has the unlimited... you know, how you say, variety. So the taste derived from that is, that means taste derived from Krishna's interaction there's nothing superior. So the jivas, they can take part in that variegatedness, in, you know, adding their own little something to it. Does that make sense? You have a main preparation, you can have all kinds of other little things that go with it to add variety. But they themselves being added to is nice, but they don't stand on their own. Does that make sense? You know, you have, you know, you're eating khichdi and you put a little lemon, so it adds to it. But the lemon doesn't stand on its own, the khichdi does. You know what I'm saying? But the point is those qualities are already inherent in the supreme object and the subject. So it's just a matter of, it brings out those aspects, right? By the principle of Ashray and Vishay, then when the jiva is in front of the Lord, it draws that kind of flavor. Right? But point is that Krishna is unlimited. So therefore, the different souls being around and rendering service, then they'll draw out so many little aspects that are there within the framework of the main interaction between Krishna and his internal potency. Does that make sense? So like that then. Okay. No, we wouldn't be able to go any further. Whatever. Some other question on this? Or? He's adding something,
but he's
yes.
Also drawing, he's drawing it out of Krishna by his service. Saying the flavor is coming from him or it's coming out of Krishna by his
service. No, the point is the jivas are all unique, but they're ashray. Right? They're not enjoyer. They're the shelter of a particular flavor.
Yeah.
So by when they interact with Krishna as the Vishai, they will draw from Krishna a particular flavor. Right? Means Mother Jashoda draws from Krishna the mood of being the son. Right? The coward boys draw from him the flavor of being a friend. Right? So that means each jiva will draw some particular aspect from Krishna. Right? Or combination or whatever. But the point is the main interaction is already going on between the Lord and his devotees. Right? Then the jivas can add something to that by bringing out some uniqueness within that flavor. Does that make sense? In other words, it doesn't stand on its own. Because you have 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, and unlimited reality. How much can you draw? It may seem very big for you, you know, but how big is that for Krishna? Right? But the chit potency is, as Krishna has unlimited qualities, she has unlimited complementary qualities. So that means the fullness of himself can be experienced in her association. Right? So that's already going on. Then you add into that the little varieties of flavors that come from the jivas being involved. Understand? Then you have something very great and some little special flavors. Does that make sense? The example is given of Mount Meru and the mustard seed. So Mount Meru is how big? Basically, it starts at the bottom of the universe, at the lower planets, and goes all the way up to the heavenly planets. And it holds, you know, so it holds all that together. Everything is tied to it, and it's made out of solid gold. Right? So, probably worth a lot. Okay? How much can you sell one mustard seed for? Okay, you got the comparison? So, therefore, a mustard seed on its own is not worth anything. But if you have Mount Meru plus a mustard seed, then you have something more than Meru. That's the point. So that's how the jiva can be pleasurable to the Lord. It's by adding something to already the perfection that's there. But to be directly involved, what are you going to offer? Does that make sense? So if that's appreciated, then you know what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense?
So like being a servant of Krishna, we are like complementary labor.
Yes. Yes.
So this marginal thing was like
It's just like this here. Dhanakasura, was he with Krishna?
Yes.
So, is that what you mean by with Krishna?
So we have been with Krishna in the form of being enemies to Krishna?
No. The point is what's your definition of being with Krishna? But if you're doing that, why would you leave it?
That's my question.
Yes, but you don't give proper alternatives. You know what I'm saying? You're giving that I'm either, you know, the loving, affectionate, eternal servant of the Lord or this disgusting scumbag, you know, here in the material world. Right? So, but the point is it says that Jiva inherently is situated in Brahmananda. It said he's not from the, how you say, he is not from the eternal pastimes, doesn't mean he can't be involved in them. You understand? So the point is one is involved in them from a neutral state. So if in that neutral state you decide this is nice, then you move towards Krishna. Right? If being in that state, you're too absorbed in what's going on in the spiritual world that's not connected to Krishna, means you don't see its connection, then you come here. Because the point in the material world is you live your life interacting with the objects around you without seeing Krishna. Right? Well, the spiritual world is you interact with the objects around you, always with everything in connection to Krishna. So the point is you are situated in the spiritual world. Which of those two do you do? So if being interacting with the elements of the spiritual world, if you focus on Krishna, then you'll remain there. And if not, then you'll be sent here. Right? Because you should be in the place that matches what you're interested in.
But was I created this way? Like,
created this way, I mean, what is this way?
Created, I mean, how is it possible? Krishna is in the jiva and out of the jiva, as you were saying before.
But it doesn't mean, it's like right now, you're sitting on the floor. And that keeps you, and you haven't fallen through the earth. Why? Krishna's potency is holding it up. This roof doesn't fall on your head. Why? Krishna's potency holds it up. But are you seeing Krishna there? No. Are you seeing Krishna there? Yes, okay, so that's the whole point. Then we become, by the association of devotees, we become aware. Then we move forward towards Krishna. Yes, it's by the same principle. You're not aware of Krishna.
So was I that unconscious part of Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, who ended up here and now?
No. See, the whole point is it's like this. You're here because you got yourself here. You made the choice to come here. It wasn't just, you know, just some, how you say, they have a machine that just, yeah, lottery, or just, you know, random generation, and then some come out this way and some that way. Tatastha Shakti means where the internal potency and the external potency are in the same place at the same time. You can see them both at once. We decided to look at the external potency. The ones that are in the spiritual world looked at the internal potency. We did it ourselves, so the only way we're going to get out of here is realizing that and doing it ourselves and getting out. Because otherwise, if we take the position I was put here, means then whoever put me here, it's their business to get me out of here. But if it's I put myself here, it's my business, I got to get myself out. You know what I'm saying? So that responsibility. Then we'll take it seriously. I have to follow Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. I have to practice my sadhana. I have to keep Krishna as my ultimate goal. then by that determination, then very quickly you'll advance. Does that make sense?
Let's say to get to that point, no, to the spiritual world, you see a chance to come back to the material world?
Have you ever on purpose stuck your finger in the fire the second time? No. So then why you'd come back here? Right? The first times you think it looks interesting. But now that you've been here, you know it's not interesting. So you won't come back. Does that make sense? Because otherwise you're on the platform of Brahmananda. And so you're already happy, so you look at the material energy and you think you'll be happy like that. And when you figure out it's not, then you're not going to take that up again. And the process that you're going to get yourself back to there is through devotional service. So then you'll see the taste of devotional service is higher than Brahmananda. So therefore, the neutral position isn't interesting, and the position of being inimical is not interesting. Therefore, one's going to stay on the platform of, you know, service to the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah.
Which is the position we can see, but is that Gokul?
Is that in Gokul? Yeah, well, it can't be Goloka because there's no Maya there. Are there any demons in Goloka? Not as such. That's what I'm saying. So, in Gokul, you're in the Bauma Lila, it's the spiritual world, same time as it's the material world. So they're both there at once. Krishna walks around India. You know what I'm saying? He goes with his entourage. You know what I'm saying? So he's fighting with Chanur and Mustika. Are they great devotees? No, demons. So the point is both you can see at once. Kamsa is the king of Mathura, which is the spiritual world. Right? But he's looking at it from the mundane perspective. Does that make sense? So you look at it that way, then you come here. You look at it from the spiritual. In other words, you're interested in serving Krishna, you get the association of the eternal servants of Krishna. Therefore, you develop their mood, then you develop prema. Then once you develop prema, you're not going to go into the material world. You're going to eternally stay in the spiritual world. Right? So that's called a nitya siddha. Right? The Nityabhada means they're there, but they don't take that strong of an interest in Krishna. They're, you know, very pleased with the arrangements that are there. You know, it's very, in the spiritual world, it's a nice place. And so then, therefore, they don't turn to Krishna. They don't get that association. They don't develop prema, so therefore, then they come here. Does that make sense? So all you have to do is reverse that process and become interested in Krishna, see Krishna in everything, and then you go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? But if you continue not seeing Krishna here, then you continue to stay here.
You explained something yesterday in the class, Bhagavatam class, about something about Vrindavan, and many Krishna is everywhere, and
I said the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna everywhere.
Like here, no.
I mean, you look around, do you see Krishna everywhere? Yeah, so then that's the...
But here he was Krishna as well, I mean, Lord Chaitanya.
He was here, he still is here, but you're just not seeing, that's all. But the point is through going through the stages of that which you think is important, you see that in connection to Krishna. Because you're distracted by what you think is important rather than what is important. What did I say?
Oh, no, it's just up to ourselves then.
It's up to you to practice. It's up to the Lord to give His mercy. Because if it's just our practice, then that's jhanam. Right? But it's the Lord's mercy.
You have to go and put back the garden. It's not possible to come back to this world for the sake of the souls that are suffering here.
Means you can come back for preaching, yeah, if you want. That's there. Generally, from what I've heard, is those who have been in the material world are more of the time chosen for doing the preaching than those who haven't been here. Right? Because they have more of an understanding. Does that make sense? So that's there. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki Jainitai Gaura Premanandini.